Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm just going to say I have written a love letter, which is so cringe, I know.
What?
It's just a your face.
Welcome to That Would Bang podcast. A podcast where we talk, debate, and banter about the content we watch that week.
But it doesn't stop there. Not only do we discuss these shows, but we also come up with our own alternative storylines for them too. I'm your co-host, Odessi.
And I'm your co-host, Patricia.
And we hope you enjoy the show. Just a quick note, there might be a few spoilers in this episode, so beware. Otherwise, kick back, relax, and enjoy.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of That Would Bang podcast. You are joined by Patricia and
Odessi.
And this
and
ooh. No girl, if you want to do your intro, you girl.
No, sis, you I'm gonna do the natural thing. You go. Let me not even already come and cramp the intro. Please go ahead.
This week we are joined by the fabulous Shore Delano, the founder of The Rendition. A platform that aims to connect audiences with diverse theatre and film. If you subscribe, you receive recommendations, reviews, discounts and more. So it's a really great thing that you're doing, Shore, and we are so glad to have you on the Thanks. Podcast. So welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited, like really, really excited.
So what has everyone been watching on TV or in general? What's everyone been watching this week?
You know what I've been binging? I just have to share it with the world. Married at First Sight Australia. I will promote this show till the end. Like, it's really like unmatched drama. I don't know if you've heard of it or if you're like aware of the concept. Where like people just get, like people get matched and get married at first sight. So the first time they see each other is at the altar. But like the drama that comes from all of that. And like, I feel like people in Australia are a little bit like, I don't want to say crazy, but they're really, they're down for the drama. And that is honestly my favourite thing to watch at the minute.
Is because I've seen lots of people talking about it, and I join in when my mum's watching it occasionally. But all I've just seen is that like some ladies are husband hopping, like they're jumping. But, yeah. And I'm thinking, I thought you just got married. Like, what's going on? So what type of drama is it? Like, is it like Big Brother style drama or is it like Real Housewives kind of drama? Like what's it on the spectrum?
That's like a good scale. It's actually like Real Housewives drama. Like people Amazing. Cheating on people's husbands, like throwing wine at the dinner table, like all sorts of what? Crazy stuff. Yeah. Like
Don't kill
on
me.
White dresses, red wine on white dresses.
Oh, mate.
But it's just all of the drama, like people like DMing each other's like husbands behind their backs and all those kind of things, but it makes messy. For great TV.
You're really selling this for me. I honestly feel like I want to watch it now because I
start with season 6.
Fabulous. I've made a mental note, gonna start with season 6.
But Patricia, what have you been watching this week?
Okay, so I've been watching two things. I've been watching Behind Her Eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Because do you know what, right?
Oh my gosh.
I saw the whole TL talking about this and I was like, cool, let me jump in. So I've made it to episode 4 and there's only 6 seasons there's only 6 episodes in the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm over halfway and still don't really know what's happening. I don't think it's going to be a good show. Mm-hmm. I really don't think it is because it's just like, okay, it's about this like woman and she's a black woman and she works for this sort of psychiatrist agency place, whatever. And she gets a new boss and he's moved to sort of London with his wife. And they clearly have a really complex and mysterious background, which they're trying to unfold. But she ends up having an affair with her boss, but also making friends with her boss's wife. So she's caught up in the middle and there's just whole drama coming up from it. I feel like someone's been murdered, but there's also like this dream element where she's having like night terrors and she has to control her dreams. I honestly just feel like I don't know what is going on. I think it's going to be a terrible show at the end of it, you know, guys.
I've heard that there's a plot twist. I've heard that there's a plot twist of all plot twists. My sister gave me the download because I heard that it's scary. So me, I don't watch things that will give me stress. I don't like stress. I avoid it. So she told me the whole plot. And from what I heard about that plot twist, Patricia, I feel like you should watch it to the end. That's all I'm saying.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you have. I read the book right when I found out everyone was speaking about it on Twitter. And when I finished the book, I said, Lord Jesus, like, I have never seen a plot twist like that. Like, it is going to blow your mind. You have to watch it to the end.
Seriously?
It's 100%. You'll just be like, what the hell just happened?
Okay, do you know what? Yeah, it's just curiosity that's going to get me to the end. I will feed back and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
All right, let's hear it.
And the second thing that I was watching is It's a Sin. And I honestly really loved this show. It's on Channel 4 and it's just basically about these group of friends that sort of moved to London like during and after uni, but it's in the 80s and it's during the AIDS epidemic. And it's kind of like, it's kind of how AIDS was kind of introduced to the UK. And I found it really interesting and it was also really, really sad. And I honestly would just recommend it because it was just 6 episodes that really packed a punch. But it's just crazy to think of like such a huge illness and hearing about it for the first time, similar to COVID, like, and how that's completely changed our lives. Completely different illnesses. I'm just going to say that now.
But a little bit.
A tad. But it's just crazy to think of that a life-changing thing being introduced to the world as we know it and having to sort of like move forward from it. But honestly, guys, I would really recommend it. It's such a good show, and I've not watched anything like it before.
You look emotional. But I can't even lie. Even the way you're talking, I'm thinking, Rob, you look like you're still recovering from what you watched. So it sounds good. I'll check it out. Speaking of emotions, I did watch the final episode of WandaVision yesterday, and I cried, man. I cried. And I wasn't meant to, I didn't think I'll cry. I didn't think Marvel could make me cry, but dude, I don't know if it's hormones or if it's life or, but great show. WandaVision, I actually say in my life, it's like one of my top 5 shows as a whole. Amazing storytelling, amazing as a whole.
I think I might watch it twice. I might watch it without having watched the Marvel stuff. And then I honestly, I'm going to commit this summer or this year, 2021. Let me not limit myself to summer, but I am going to watch Marvel. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in order. I'm going to commit. And then I'll watch WandaVision again.
Definitely. I want to have a conversation because it feels like everyone who's come on the podcast, no one wants to talk about WandaVision. So
sorry, girl.
It's all right. The TL is there. Every Friday night, I'm tuning into the WandaVision hashtag, but I like the community. They don't spill spoilers. They just give a little glimpse. I'm like, yeah, it's cute.
You know what? I need someone to talk about. Have you heard of a show called The Servant on Apple TV?
I've heard of it, but I don't understand what it is.
I need someone, like, you know when you're watching a show and no one is there to watch it with you or talk to you about it? It's really creepy. It's about it's really creepy, but a husband and wife, you have a baby and the baby dies. And the woman has like a really lifelike doll that she uses in the baby's place, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then they hire a babysitter to babysit the doll.
Yes, I've heard this.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, but the woman is not like really aware that it's a doll. She's having like some sort of, I get like detachment from reality. But it's even weirder that the babysitter is going along with it. You have to watch it. It's really, really creepy.
Is this the one that's directed or produced by that Asian director? And I'm trying to remember his name.
Yes.
He was on the Graham Norton show. And they played a snippet of it. And I was like, what the hell is this? Yeah. It actually looks good. And I think I might watch that, you know.
It's good. Like, it's half an hour episodes. The annoying thing is I actually have to now wait till they come out every Friday. I don't really, like, with Netflix and stuff, everything is readily available. But I'd highly recommend.
Ooh. Yeah. That sounds like it's scary. So I don't know if I will watch it. I'll be honest there. But Patricia, watch on my behalf. Let me know how it goes, all right?
Of course.
Let's talk about the topic of today's episode, which is to all the boys I loved before. If you can't see everyone, we're dancing, we're celebrating because I feel like, personally, this is the most excited I've ever been for an episode. I love a good rom-com. But before we start, let me give a little introduction about what the show the film, the trilogy, the film trilogy is about. Okay, so this week we're talking about To All the Boys, Always and Forever, which is the third film from the To All the Boys trilogy. It's based on Jenny Han's novels, which follow the life of Lara Jean Covey, a teenage girl whose secret love letters are exposed and cause havoc in her love life. And the final film in particular focuses on her relationship with her boyfriend and whether they stick or split in time for starting college in the fall.
Well, Patricia, you've already started making noises, so let's hear what your thoughts. What are your thoughts? Okay, right. Romance, yeah. I don't usually watch sort of like romantic films, read romantic novels, but there is something about this film that undoes me every single time. like every film I've watched them and I've actually teared up and cried. Mm. It is just so pure and like sweet and heartwarming, and I just love LJ and Peter's relationship. I think they're so sweet, and guys, it's just such a nice watch. That's all I can really say about it. I just think it's great, honestly. A must watch. I don't know what to say.
She's losing composure. Sheree, what do you think? I'm so obsessed, right? It doesn't make sense. And like, I feel like a preteen, like 13-14 year olds, like who are standing their favorite characters, like. Even I was saying to you that I watched a movie, I'm now watching interviews with the two of them on YouTube.
Oh my God, yeah.
As if they're together in real life when they're not, and I can't get that into my head because like on Netflix and throughout the movies, their relationship is so genuine and it's so pure, and even through the ups and downs, I just feel like love conquers all. And it just gets me. I love it, and even though it is like a teen rom-com. It's still really relatable for like me being in my late 20s. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, I agree. Literally, I feel like the first movie definitely had me in bits. The second movie, I wasn't really feeling it that much. But this third movie had me feeling the same way as the first movie did.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that thing that it took me back to, you know, in secondary school, like I used to always read like all those rom-com novels, like the Mates Date series and all those like best friends type thing. It just made me feel like that again. And I think personally, I just fell in love with Peter Kavinsky. Like I've accepted that he is the white boy of my dreams. Like, mate, Peter, if you ever come down to London, come through, because dude.
Do you know what it is? Yeah? It's his puppy dog eyes. He has this kind of look that he does that's just like, wow.
Yeah, but what did you guys think about Peter and Lara Jean's like love and relationship? What were your thoughts on it as a whole?
Gosh, I don't want to be too dramatic. I loved everything about it. Like from in the first film, the way that they met and like the scene on the track and like the bumping into each other. I think what I really liked is that it was quite realistic. I think even though it was in the land of rom-coms and like fairy tales, it was grounded in like we could see this happening in real life, like the ups and the downs. And I just think it was adorable. And also very like authentic, like when we see them on the sofa and just like having couple time and stuff, it just really got to me.
I think my favorite thing is just how gentle they are with each other. I think when I was watching the third, Always and Forever, when I was watching this one, and there was that whole thing where Lara Jean was just freaking out about not getting into college with Peter. And she was like freaking out. She didn't even know how she was going to tell him. And when she eventually did, he was just like, the first thing he said was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh my God. We love a sensitive man. Like, he proper like just put her feelings first, like, because he knew how much she was pinning all her hopes on getting into Stanford with him. So it was just nice to see him like not put himself in the center of it all and just be like, sis, are you okay? I was like, you guys are just so tender with each other, and I love that.
Wow, it's true. I think that moment was probably what hit me, because it was literally just, it was showing like, even though they're still like high school students and they're still very immature, like how their relationship unfolded was quite immature in some aspects. That was a really mature moment, and I think the reason we're all feeling it is just because you want people to do that to you. You want people to ask you, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not.
So I thought with their relationship, like, one thing that I don't know how freely I can speak about the ending, like I don't want to give spoilers or if that's acceptable, but at the end of the film, Lara Jean didn't have to make a sacrifice. She could, like, do what she wanted to do and also give her relationship a go. And I just feel like in a lot of rom-coms, women are out here sacrificing so much just for love. But I'm thinking, let's have love and let's have our dreams too. So yes, I just so loved that part.
Very true. I think Jenny Han, the writer of the novels, like, did a great job of just creating, like, a well-rounded character who just grew up as a whole. Mm. Like, Lara Jean, from the first film to who she is in the third film, they're completely different people. And she's really started to, like, figure out who she is, what she wants, and not let boys fully dictate everything about her. And I loved it. She really did come of age. Do you think that Peter and LJ are going to last in college?
100%. Are you kidding me? No, I don't know. You know, like, when you think about it realistically, relationships before university are very different to post-university, because at university you learn a lot about yourself and you just grow into maybe a different kind of person. Because I'm hopeful, right, and I'm almost a hopeless romantic, I want to say that they'll make it through the 4 years and they'll have a great time. But I'm just going to hang on to that. Like, the film leaves it open-ended, and I'm going to put all my hope in that open-endedness and believe that it all works out for the best.
Yeah, I feel like the way they've set up the films, they just have to last. Like, they couldn't just not last. Mm. But I'm going to call myself a realistic romantic in the sense that I really want them to last, and I feel like their relationship is so nice. But then I'm also like, it's college and you're kind of like on the periphery of starting your life. You're going to meet new people, experience new things. So the realistic person in me, the realist in me, is just like, are they going to last? I don't know, because it's a lot. It's a lot to be in a relationship during college, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. That one, a lot of work.
But I feel like, because in the film, like, do you remember when we saw Lara Jean signing books and then buying her first house and then being pregnant, like a montage of what life could be like? You can't show me that and then... I know there's not going to be a fourth film, but that's what we're working towards. That's what I think... that's why they have to last.
Yeah, I hear that. And to be honest, I saw an interview with Jenny Han, and she said that even though she's kind of closed the To All The Boys chapter, she said that if in 10 years' time she felt inspired again to write a rekindling, I will be there front row, ready to see.
40 years old. I'm there.
I want to see Lara Jean and Peter. I want to see what they look like when they're older. That's a madness.
Wow.
But I have a question. This is slightly diverse. It's on the theme of the film, but it's more about you guys. Have you guys ever, Patricia, have you guys ever written a love letter to someone, and what's the outcome? How's that been?
Like a physical
letter?
It
could be a letter. It could be an email. It doesn't have to be Lara Jean stuff.
An email.
I haven't, like, written a... I don't think I've written a love letter or, like, voice note letter to someone. But, like, after a breakup, I've written what I would have told them. Because I'm... To stop myself being an emotional mess, like, what I would have told them had I had the balls to send it to them. But that's just lurking in my notes, never to be seen again. But I think love letters are cute. Like, if anybody is out there and they are thinking, you know what, they see me on Instagram and they want to make an approach, send me a love letter. Like, I would really appreciate
You've heard it.
It
here first, man.
Do you know
send
what I mean?
Send her a love letter.
Let's take it old school.
What about you, Patricia?
I'm just going to say I have written a love letter, which is so cringe, I know.
What? It's just a look your face. You know what? From the way you reacted to the question, I knew that there must have been something behind it.
Mate, I was young. It was like my first relationship. I think I was just overexcited. And like, I wrote this like heartfelt kind of letter. And I don't know what I was sending it for. I don't feel like it was like for a Valentine's or anything. I think it was just sending it just because. And I'm pretty sure the person I sent it to was just probably like, what is this, man? Like, this is so corny. But
did he write one back?
No. But he definitely received it. He was like, oh, that's nice. But it was just, I'm definitely a soppy person, I think. But I'm tightening the fuck up. Do you know what I mean?
No, don't let love.
I was young and naive, and now I'm 23, and I think I will still be expressive, but maybe just not write them in love letters. Maybe just tone it back a little bit.
Don't change who you are, man. Don't let one experience change that. If a love letter is how you want to express yourself with a love letter. It worked for LJ.
Thanks, guys.
It worked for LJ.
That's true. Have you written a love letter at Tesla?
Nah, mate, I haven't written a love letter. I just thought it would be funny. No, I think the maddest thing I did was pretend that I wrote poetry because this boy I liked was a poet. Ooh. So I asked him to help me, but then I had to start writing poetry so that he would. Oh. It was so embarrassing. It didn't work because the poems were so crap. That's the worst I've ever done. But yeah, that's interesting, God. Though. But overall, would you guys say that you guys are rom-com people, like, in general?
I would say not, you know, which is quite surprising because I do like to kind of cry a bit. And I do like... Do you know what it is? It's I just don't like rom-coms that are really airy and soppy and just...
Define what you mean.
I don't know.
What counts as soppy? What counts as a soppy rom-com?
I think it's like what you were saying, Adesola, how they... Like, obviously, these are feel-good movies, but they still have a little bit of, like... depth to them and a little bit of substance. Mm-hmm. And I think that just comes from not only like the plot and the writing, but also like the characters. I don't like anything that's just like happy-go-lucky for the sake of being happy-go-lucky. Like, it's not believable. Do you know what I mean? I like it when it's kind of, I can imagine it happening like to me or someone, and there's just a little bit more depth, a little bit more heart to it. And I really like to sort of identify with the characters a bit more. I like it when they're like, not everything is smooth sailing, but they still overcome it. Do you know what I mean? Rather than it just being like, oh, we're going for a skip in the park or whatever. Like, just give me something more, you know?
What about you, Sheree?
I'm the complete opposite to Patricia. Like, I really, like, I love rom-coms. Like, I love the cheesy ones, like the Netflix ones that have no substance, but I watch
like
them anyway.
What? Please, give an example.
Like the Kissing Booth. Have you watched that in the second one?
You know.
All of that. You don't want to watch it, but you won't like it, Patricia. But that is my, like, that's like my creamy crack. Like, I just love those kind of pointless rom-coms. I love black rom-coms. I love all types. Like, I don't want to give off hopeless romantic vibes, but I do believe in love. However, like, that's like a bit cringe, but I just like to see it on screen. Like, what's better than like sitting in bed on a Friday night watching people on screen fall in love? Like, it's nice, you know?
I hear it. I agree.
This is mad soppy.
No, I agree. I think I'm in the middle of both of you. Like, I'm not anti rom-coms like Patricia. I'm not, like, I don't think Patricia's anti rom-coms, but I'm not on her side. I don't feel like I'm on the soppy side, but I do like a good watching people fall in love. But I think I like seeing like just genuine like portrayal of relationships in that regard. So like that's probably why I like To All the Boys, but even in just like shows like This Is Us with Randall and Beck, their relationship,
yes,
and just seeing them in love and how they navigate situations, I like seeing that kind of stuff of people that I root for rather than
sorry I didn't mean to cut
this out, right?
But I was gonna say that's kind of what I mean, because those are the portrayals of love that I like. But you wouldn't call This Is Us a rom-com, do you know what I mean?
Far from.
I like the romance in things that aren't rom-coms, do you get what I mean? And that's it's because it's just a little bit more juicy. It's got, because they obviously go through their ups and downs, but they still persevere. So that's my idea of love.
Joshua, you should try watching Been So Long with Michaela Cole and Lorenzo Kenne. It's like
isn't it a musical?
Let me not throw you off. Yeah, I didn't want to say that too soon. You know, it is a musical, but I didn't want to throw you off with that. But it is like a really good depiction of Black British love, and it's not plain sailing. Like, they go through their ups and downs, but it's very realistic. Like, and I just love Michaela Cole anyway. In fact, I love both of them, so I would highly recommend. Like, you can definitely put the musical thing to the side. Like, it's not overbearing.
Wow. When you say musical, are we doing? Are we talking kind of West End musical, like like hands, sweeping, yeah? Or are we talking about like, because you said like Black British love, so I'm wondering, I'm really sort of curious about how they kind of, yeah, because that is something I've never watched a Black British musical.
True. Wrong,
like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like Jazz Hands Chicago musical, because it's, I think some of it's based in Camden, so it doesn't really like match. But it's still a musical. they're still singing in the streets at times. But yeah, it's just very real. Like, I think during it, Michaela's coming out of a hard breakup, and Arinto's going through or fighting his own battles. And then Michaela also has her best friend who she like confides in. But it is like Black sisterhood, Black romance, with a touch of singing. So yeah, I would recommend that.
I need that, because I think I'm itching for a story that's kind of a bit more reflective of like dating as a Black British woman. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's something that I'm definitely lacking. But I did read Love in Colour by Bolu Babalola,
oh my gosh, I love it.
Which is really good because she kind of had, she threw in that kind of Black British vibe into it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. That felt like, all right, okay, we're getting somewhere in terms of like representing like dating in like London and stuff, or like being Black British. Mm. But yeah, I definitely need more of that. So I think I might watch that too. I just want to watch everything, clearly. Yeah,
you know what? That's the first time I've heard a recommendation for being so long. I've always seen it, like, in passing on Netflix, but I've just never, like, when I saw a musical, I was like, I'm not here for this. Like, I don't know what they're coming to do. But if you're saying it's good, I trust that it's good. So I will check it out. But for me, the pinnacle of romance will always be in Korean dramas. Mm. I'm telling you right now. If you want to see love, true love, love that you will have tears in your eyes, guys, I'm telling you.
Really?
K-dramas, they know how to love. Because you know what? There's no toxic masculinity. No. The guys there, they say how they feel. If they like you, they'll tell you there and then, I like you, let's go for it. And the thing is, it's like, I think the first one that I watched that my heart was like, mate, this is serious, was a film called a series called Crash Landing on You. And it's basically this South Korean girl who goes paragliding and ends up in North Korea, and she falls in love with a soldier, and it's about their journey, like a North Korean and a South Korean falling in love. You need to watch it. It's actually very good. Wow. So yeah, that's me. K-dramas, I always bring them in when I need to. Yeah.
Wow. That's not an unusual recommendation, but I'm going to try.
But we have done a lot of talking about rom-coms and To All the Boys. And I think it's time that we do move on to the second half of the podcast. Woo! Ooh.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're moving on to the second half of the podcast, where Adesi and I take a scene from the show and come up with our own versions of what should have happened. Our guests will pick their favourite, and you guys can join in using the hashtag TWBpod. So this week we've picked that moment where LJ is waiting to hear if she got into Stanford with Peter. And instead of being rejected, we decided that she does get in with Peter, so she's going to college with him.
This is so exciting, I can't believe it.
I think Adesla's going first this week because I went.
Okay, I'll just go first then. All right.
Thank you.
You know what? It's good. It's all right. Okay.
I'm sure it's great.
I'm a bit nervous because I know Patricia has pulled out all the stops, but me too. I tried to pull out some stops today. Before you press play, let me give you a bit of context to my storyline. I'm so nervous. I'm trying to be calm, but I'm shaking. Okay, so in my storyline, it focuses on Peter and LJ as they navigate going to Stanford together, and LJ seeing whether this is best for her and seeing if they fight for their love or let it go. All right.
I think yours is going to be really good.
Patricia, thank you. You know what? I'll take it. We ready?
Yep.
Lara Jean and Peter have both been accepted into Stanford. Her sister Margot worries that she made the wrong decision. However, LJ gets defensive and rejects her offer at NYU to prove a point. It's the first day of college. Peter's been given an amazing dorm at the centre of campus, whereas LJ's dorm is crusty and on the edge. Everyone loves Peter, but LJ is really struggling. She can't help but feel like Stanford was a mistake. So Lara Jean does what she knows best. She writes a letter. Not a love letter, but more like a diary entry about the pain she's feeling. She even mentions how she feels that going to Stanford with Peter might have stopped her growth. The process is cathartic, but her plan is to burn it and move on. Meanwhile, Peter notices that LJ's been down and decides to surprise her with a romantic dinner in her room. He sneaks into her room while she's in class and finds her secret letter. LJ returns and spots that Peter's deflated. He confronts her about the letter, but she can't deny her emotions. They argue and break up that night. Peter feels guilty that he held her back all this time. However, after a call with Margot, LJ decides to drop out of Stanford and go traveling before transferring to NYU the next year. Peter and LJ both live their lives. They try new relationships, new friends, and gain new experiences. 6 years later is 2027. Lara Jean is a famous author who's about to launch a book called Letters to My Loves, and Peter is now a teacher. He's been following LJ's success and has been secretly cheering her on all this time. However, he's scared that she still resents him. LJ's book tour is coming to his town and he's desperate to go. At the event, people in the audience get up and read letters to their loves, open mic style. Peter watches the event unfold. He stays silent, in awe of Lara Jean's beauty and who she's become. The event is about to end and LJ gives her final speech to close the session. But Peter stands up from the back of the audience, grabs a mic, and starts to read the letter he wrote for her. Dear Covey. Lara Jean looks up and recognises Peter's shaky voice. Their eyes lock, and it feels like the world goes silent as he reads out his letter.
Oh my God. Such a good scene. What the hell?
I can't believe. I'm really, really shook. Like, what?
Oh my God. Okay, everyone should now. Everyone should now lower their expectation. You know?
No, sorry, that was too much.
Cecily, your scene was so good. What the hell?
Mate, I was scared, but I didn't get to hear your reactions because it cut.
Sorry, I'm loving it.
I'm actually in awe. Like, is it now time to give comments or do I shall
wait?
Let's
wait for Patricia's.
Okay. I had to get a pen and paper, you know, because I want to make notes to make sure that this is a fair test and I remember everything.
Oh, but God. You said scene and then took it 7 years into the future. Like, bro.
Mate, I'm sorry. Do you know what? Oh, I was just thinking, like, how could you make this work? And I was just trying to... I'm sorry. All right.
It's all over, Jackie.
It's not all over.
It's all over. So, yeah. Basically, LJ finds out that she has been accepted into Stanford, but she does get a little bit overexcited. So there's a little plan to sort of reel them back a bit, just to make college a little bit more fresh when they get there. LJ refreshes the internet page with one eye open. When she reads the words congratulations, she jumps up and flops onto her bed, screaming into her pillow. She's going to Stanford. She calls Peter and tells him the good news, and he pulls up at her house with flowers and cupcakes. Their summer is filled with excitement, and LJ obsessively plans for their future together. She scribbles out lists after lists, signs her and Peter up for the same dorms, and even makes a schedule of socials for their first week. The beginning of their life together has arrived, just as LJ imagined. Meanwhile, Kitty and Margot are starting to get worried about how obsessed she has become with Peter. When LJ is 2 hours late to set up the marquee for the big day, Kitty storms off upstairs whilst Margot walks away. She secretly meets up with Peter and says he needs to be realistic about their future. Do they want to spend college, the best years of their life, tied down? Peter is shocked that Margot would try to end her sister's relationship, but he agrees. He and LJ need space. Peter decides that they are going to break up. Not for real, they're just going to start over as though they've never met. Peter tells LJ about his conversation with Margot and explains that they need to create distance between them to make college exciting. LJ throws herself back into her family life, and when her dad's wedding comes, she only shares a couple of flirty glances with Peter across the dance floor. It's moving in day at college, and Peter knocks on LJ's door. He extends his hand and introduces himself, says, "It's nice to finally meet you, LJ. Can I take you on a date tonight and every night for the next 2 weeks?" Peter hands her a scrapbook. It's filled with everything he wanted to say and do with LJ but couldn't. He has a fortnight of things planned, starting with a rendezvous in a small garden on campus. he's recreated her dad's wedding marquee and decorated the bushes with fairy lights and laid out a picnic with LJ's favourite foods and rose petals, because it's the first time he saw her and fell in love with her again. Peter gives LJ a long and heartfelt kiss and they fall onto the blanket in embrace.
That's it then. That is it then.
Oh my God.
Wow.
How am I meant to choose?
Wow. Well, wow. So basically, at this point, you feel free to ask us questions, ask us anything, like probe to make your investigation, to make your decision of what you'd like. Yeah, Patricia and I can't lie, we both pulled out all the stops today. We took different approaches, but we...
We
took very different approaches, but... It's interesting to see our takes on it. And I feel like they're both very To All The Boys-esque. I love the music.
Yeah, defo.
So, Shore, you have a big job. I can't even lie.
Oh my, this is so stressful. Are you kidding me?
I'm just dying at your pen in your hand. I couldn't even take a note.
You are the first guest ever to have taken notes. So we give props to you.
Thank you. This is serious business. And because I feel like so much work has gone into the scene. They're so good. Right. Let me start with Adesola question. I've got a question for you. So when Peter, when they're doing the book signing and Peter, I guess, takes the mic to go and tell, I guess, declare his love for Lara Jean again, in between, like, during the 7 years, do you imagine Peter having moved on with his life or just waiting for this moment?
I think it was one of those things that they both... I don't feel like what happened in college ended well. Like, I don't think it ended on the best terms. And Peter, deep down, has always just felt that he's caused Lara Jean to be held back. And he's been watching her be beautiful and flourish into this amazing author. I think his fear was just that, if I come back into her life, will I be someone who's held everything back for her? But I think seeing the event and seeing everyone share their love letters and share their love, that it just inspired him to do something that he should have done before. And I think it's the conversation or the thing that Lara Jean and Peter both needed to do. They just weren't ready for. And they are each other's true loves. So that's what I wanted to show.
No, that was great. That was honestly great. Like, what I really liked about it was... it was just giving me real rom-com vibes. Like, that, those things don't happen in real life. Like your long-lost love from university stays lost. But in the world of rom-coms, that happens. They tend to be in the right place at the right time. And because I'm a hopeless romantic, that was definitely for me. Patricia, I've got a question for you.
Right.
How did you decide when Peter... says that he's going to take Lara Jean on a date and, like, recreate the her dad's wedding and do the scrapbook and stuff. Why did you pick that moment to recreate for Peter to do that to Lara Jean?
Okay, yeah. So basically, right, obviously they decided to, like, fake break up. The idea is that they're supposed to, like, redate each other just to create some, like, intrigue and mystery. And LJ's dad's wedding is when he sort of fake sees her for the first time, like, and fell in love with her for the second time. So he recreated that moment because that was the moment that he fell in love with her all over again. So that's literally the only reason why I chose him to recreate that moment. But yeah, I thought it was kind of romantic as well.
It is so cute. Yeah, it was so cute. And can I just say, the bit where you were like, he knocks on the door like, "Hi, everyone, it's Peter, can we start again?" That would have me in bits if I saw it on screen, because it's so like, okay, let's put the past behind us, but also we still really have a lot of history. I just really could, like, see that in my head.
The way I proper chose the knock as well, because I chose a Peter knock, like that cute little, like, just two knock, and then he comes in with his head tilted a bit and he's just giving her a little bit of a
Patricia's
look.
Was really setting the scene. Let me set the scene. That mic tap that he did, everyone, ladies, yep. And then he said, "Dear Covey, it wasn't just LJ, it was Covey, I'm telling you."
That was on brand for him.
On brand.
I literally felt like I could see it in my head as I was listening to the scenes.
Thank you. Any more questions that you have for us? Or Patricia, do you have a question?
Yeah, you two, feel free. Let me just review my notes and see what else is on my mind.
I do have a question now, actually. So obviously, like, LJ... travels the world and then transfers to NYU. And obviously Shari asked if Peter moved on, but does LJ move on at any point?
Well, it's like, it's a 6-year gap. So I believe that they both experimented and tried different relationships, but secretly it's always the one that got away. That's how they both felt. So I feel like LJ was probably secretly stalking Peter and be like, oh my gosh, like, well done. He's a teacher of lacrosse. Like, he does this amazing thing. And Peter's been stalking Covey, like doing all his whole, like, Twitter. Maybe he has a, I wouldn't say, I don't think he's a burner. I don't feel like he's a burner type guy, but I feel like he definitely has been watching her and has just been like, pushing her on. And it's probably one of those things that people still ask them about each other, but they don't really have anything to say. So I just wanted to show that, like, they genuinely do care for each other, but it's just techie. They were too immature at the time. They've grown up now.
Let me go back to
I love Adesola's this. This is so thorough.
I'm just really enjoying it. Like, what I can't believe is, like, if someone asked me to do what you did, I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't also don't have the range to, like, craft the story myself. Do you know what I loved? That I feel like Adesola, that it was very like, if Jenny Han was to do an alternate ending, I feel like it'd be quite close to yours. I don't know, like, I think it would be like, you're quite aligned. Like, even them having dorm rooms and Peter having a great one and Laura having a terrible one, and Peter having the great time because he is, like, handsome and he's a social butterfly, and Lara struggling a bit. That was very realistic for me. Like, I could see it happening if we would have a fourth film or a different ending. And Adesola, I just love, like, Kitty and Margot in your story, because they played the role that they would play and they have played in the film in terms of bringing Lara back down to earth.
For Patricia.
For Patricia's one. Bringing Lara back down to earth. And yeah, being those, like, the soundboard that your sisters tend to be, in terms of get your head out of the clouds and, like, focus on reality.
Real life, man. Wake up, I smell the coffee. Wake up, I smell it.
Exactly. So do I have to pick them?
Yes, but before you do pick.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Patricia and I do give each other 10 seconds to pitch, like, ourselves, like, a final plea of who you should pick. And then based on all the information you've heard and what your heart is saying, you go with which one you prefer. So let me get the timer up. Patricia, I can't lie. Since I went first, can you pitch first?
No, that's not how it works.
This is the last one, man. Do you? No, man, please.
Sis, I've already got the 30 seconds
I took the...
Sorry.
It's 10 seconds, but...
Oh, yeah, 10 seconds.
10 seconds, but... No, but because I took the bullet, I bit the bullet.
Are you ready?
No, wait, Patricia. I'm trying to pitch. I'm trying to plea.
Can I make a suggestion? Can we... What if, right...
What do you think this is? Sorry,
you talking to Shireen?
No, I was talking to Jesse.
She said, "What do you think this is?" If I ask a trivia question about the film, and whoever gets it right first gets to go first or not go first.
That's a good shout. I'm definitely gonna lose because I'm married.
I feel like I'm gonna lose. Anyway, let's go.
Okay, so how does Peter ask Lara Jean to prom?
Pause. Does he write a letter? Does he not do that?
No, incorrect answer. Over to Patricia.
How does Peter ask her to... Wait, why can I not remember this?
I don't remember. This is the first film, isn't it? No, it's the last film. No.
Yes, it
is. Stop. Please, I'm confused. Can I go again?
Wait.
Can I go again? No. I know. Please, can I go?
Wait, don't they make up in the marquee?
No, exactly. Let me go.
All right, go.
Okay, back on Sona, sorry.
He puts the speaker up, in it. Oh, no, it doesn't. All right.
No. That was when he thought she got into Stanford.
Okay, pause.
Wait.
No, this is so annoying. This is the worst way to decide. Wait.
Pancakes, cafe.
Oh, no.
Patricia's got that. Sorry, Adesola, that was it. It was a pancake.
Pancakes, did you wait a week? Yes. Oh, my God.
With that lady. Yeah. Oh, mate.
All right, so ready for 10 seconds?
Patricia, I don't like your energy. I can't lie. This energy is off. All right.
3, 2, 1, go.
Pick mine because we see the growth of the characters, their authenticity, and the way they handle life situations. We see Lara Jean change. We see Peter change. We see true love prevails after all. That's mine.
All right. That was good.
All right. Okay, 10 seconds starts now.
Pick my scene because it's very on brand for the characters, but you also see Peter try to refresh their relationship. And it's just so cute, so heartwarming, and it's just feel good.
Okay, time's up. Ooh. Okay, Sheree, you got a big job.
Right, okay, I'm ready. So, I think I've picked my winner for one specific reason, which I will say why. Should I reveal the winner first and give the reasons, or give the reasons then?
Ugh. Either way, I have anxiety. Either way, I have anxiety. Like,
it's true.
This is not fun for us.
Okay, I'll say the winner first, and I'll say why. It was very, very close, by the way. My winner is actually Adesola.
Yeah,
right.
I saw it coming, mate.
No, but it wasn't as like a clear win as you think it was. Like, I picked Adesola only because I just feel like, I'm sorry, I just feel like you really got in the head of Jenny Han. Like, if you had said, yeah, hey, Jenny, like, how else could you imagine, like, the scene or this part of the film unfolding? I think you really captured that. Like, the essence of LJ and Peter, I really saw in your scene. Like, it really did touch me.
And just pissing me off, you know? So,
I just want to say, my mama, I want to thank Jesus, I want to thank
the
Lord.
This is not the Oscars. This is not the Oscars,
sorry,
please.
Continue. Don't let Patricia,
you
want to hear it. Let's go.
And it's actually, I think it was also the ending that did it for me. Like, just imagining that, like, the book signing, and then, like, just true love coming and prevailing, and them being together as they always should have been. So that was the reasoning. But that being said, Patricia, you know I loved yours too. Like, I really appreciated the sound effects.
Thank you.
I think the only thing that made me pick Adesola was, I don't know if LJ would ever be in a situation where she'd pick Peter at the expense of her family, or, like, she'd get so obsessed with Peter that she would, jeopardize her relationship or events with her family. I feel like she's down for her sisters and her dad. So that was the only thing that I was like,
I'll give you
would
that.
LJ really do that?
I'll give you that.
But I love them both so much, and I can't wait to listen to them again.
You're actually the best judge, mate. I love this.
Thanks. Sure, this was really a very thorough analysis, and we genuinely appreciate. I feel like this is because you are the last episode of the season. I feel like this is a lovely way to round it off, and you've done amazingly. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys. Really enjoyed it.
I also do want to give my winner speech. So,
oh, go on.
For everyone out there, it was a rough start. If you tuned into episode one of the TWB podcast, you know that I lost for like the first like maybe four episodes, but I've won. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Patricia, for being an amazing co-host of me. Thank you, Shore, for being a judge who picked me. I love it. That's all I wanted to say.
Can I give my runners-up speech?
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who supported me during this journey. Obviously, I came out the starting block strong, but I couldn't finish it. But all I know is I'm coming back on season two.
Yes.
Doing the madness.
I'm already
You guys aren't even ready for my scenes. You guys aren't ready.
I'm already scared. But yeah, man, we've actually come to the end of the podcast. This was really, really fun. I really enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much, Shore, for coming and joining us.
Do you think Shore made the right decision, guys? Who do you think won? I don't want to hear it if you think it was actually Adesola, but I'll let you do your thing. Let us know which pitch you liked more using the hashtag TWBpod, or even better, send in your own storylines to thatwouldbangpod@gmail.com. We might even feature it in our next episode. What show should we talk about in season two? Mm-hmm. Let us know. Tag us, drop us emails. But yeah.
Guys, this is a public service announcement. The next episode, Patricia and I are not doing alternative storylines. We want to hear your storylines. So for every show we've talked about in the season or every film, if you think you've got something better than us, or if you've got your own idea, send it in an email and we will read it out, share our opinions. And yeah, we want to hear what you think. So please, please, please send it through to thatwouldbangpod@gmail.com. And yeah, we're looking forward to receiving it.
If you want to follow me, you can follow me at @_PDVR on Instagram and Twitter.
And if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Addy Adesi. And if you want to follow Shore, you can follow her
at Shore Uande, Score Edition. But you can find it in my bio. And yeah, for all things Black theatre, film, follow us. And I can't wait till theatre gets back and we actually can go and see theatre back in real life.
But thank you for joining us. It was actually so great to have you as a guest, man. This was such a vibe.
I just love it. You two are great, and I love talking about TV, so it was loads of fun.
Thank you. Well, that's it, guys. So we will see you later. We'll see you in season two. Bye.
Bye.
Ooh, bye.
That's it for today's episode, guys. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, follow us at the TWB Pod on Instagram and Twitter, or you can join in the conversation using the hashtag TWB Pod.
If you like what you heard, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Acast app, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you love what you heard, drop a rating and a cheeky review.